Thessalonians, the second chapter. And let me read from 1 Thessalonians, second chapter, the first 8 verses of that chapter. Hear now God's word. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impunity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you like a nursing mother taking care of her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Let's pray once again. Oh God, we have heard your word read, and as we set ourselves to try to understand it, we pray that you will be at work in us. And we ask, O God, that not only will our minds comprehend what it is that you have to say, but we pray that our hearts will be filled with a sense of duty and gratitude that drives us to fulfill what you require of us. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. In thinking about the way in which we relate to others, both those inside and those outside of the church, there are lots of things that we seek to do as we desire to present the gospel to those outside and as we seek to relate to those within the church. And sometimes it seems to me in the midst of these kind of things, we can be helped a great deal by seeing how someone else has done this. In other words, we can be helped when we try to do these kind of things, when there's a model, an example that we can follow. This is not only true in a church life, but it's a matter in a good bit of our lives. And I think it's particularly the case when we're thinking about relational kinds of things, of how we relate to people, where sensitivity has to be a part of what we're doing. And it's not the kind of thing that you can just read a book about it and get the series of 12 rules, write down the 12 rules, put them on a checklist, and say, I now know how to relate to people in a right and sensitive manner. It's good to see how someone relates in the various situations of life. And in a way, it seems to me, that's what the Apostle Paul is setting before the church at Thessalonica. I think that it's fair to say that the kind of letter that Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica is one that in which he is exhorting them, encouraging them to believe and to behave in certain ways. And one of the ways in which the Apostle Paul does that is by using himself as an example. Not in the sense that Paul is trying to say, look here, how wonderful I am, but look here, I have come to you and I have worked amidst you in a certain way, and because I have come and I have worked, I have set you an example of how you ought to go about living and behaving amongst each other, and I want you to follow that example that I now articulate, now that I express to you in the midst of this letter. It seems to me that's what Paul is doing. Here, not something that's unknown in the ancient world, as a kind of form of moral education, if you will, is what the Apostle Paul is setting before us. And in the midst of his explanation of these things here in chapter 2, he sets out a model. He sets out a picture, if you will, of the way in which he related to them and the way in which he would like for them to relate to one another as well. And that one of the models that he sets out for us, the one that we will look at today, is the model of a mother. And he describes something about the way in which he goes about that. He says, we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. The first aspect is of this model is that the Apostle Paul says, like a nursing mother, when I was among you, I was gentle. That's what he sets out before them. He treated them with the gentleness of a nursing mother. And we know how a nursing mother relates to a child. It is a picture of tenderness. It is a picture of tenderness across a multitude of cultures. You can come from different places, and you probably have images in your mind of the way in which a nursing mother deals with a child. And that's so deeply ingrained in us that when you happen to notice a nursing mother who jerks her child up, handles that child in a rough way, you almost go, that's not right. That's not the way in which a mother who is nursing deals with her child. We see pictures of this, and it is a picture of contented mother together with contented child. And it seems to me that's the image that the Apostle Paul has in his mind as he suggests to the church at Thessalonica, when you deal with one another, you ought to deal in this way, that it should be evident in the way in which you behave with one another, that you have this kind of a characteristic relationship. Now, what does that mean to act like a nursing mother when we're engaged in dealing with people? Now, let me suggest some of the things that at least pop into my mind. Now, when someone calls you up for the fifth time on a day when you are very busy and asks you essentially the same question, you answer it and you listen to them and you gently put the phone down and you don't say, "I hope she doesn't bother me again." She is calling like a child, and she wants to talk to you, and she wants to hear you at the other end of the phone. And I can assure you that if you're in the pastorate, that lady will call you up. And a nursing mother listens. When you're at the point of mental and physical exhaustion after day has been extraordinarily busy, and you fall down in bed and you immediately go off to sleep, and you're in the depths of your sleep, and the phone rings, and Mary said, "Bill had a heart attack. They rushed him to the hospital." And your response is not, "Oh, not again. I'll be there as soon as I can." You dress, you get in your car, you rush to the hospital, you pray with her, and you listen to her. That's the gentleness of a nursing mother. When you have butted heads with the leadership in your congregation, and they keep telling you, "This is not the way in which we do things here," and you know full well that's not the way in which they do things there, but you know a better way, you accommodate yourself to them, so that the adjustment can come, just like a nursing mother does with a child. When the child says, "I'm hungry," the nursing mother feeds. When the child awakes in the middle of the night out of fright, the mother comforts. When the nursing child cannot get comfortable and suddenly gets comfortable when the mother's body is twisted in a clearly difficult manner, the mother doesn't move. The baby suckles. Paul says, "When I was among you, I was gentle like a nursing mother." And he calls upon the Thessalonians, and I think he calls upon us to be just like that in our relationships one with another. Paul says that one of the things that as a mother, in this mother model that he did, was he was delighted to share the gospel with them. And he puts that out for us there. "We delighted to share with you, and not only the gospel of God." He clearly did that, just like a nursing mother. A mother knows what a child needs. A mother knows what a child wants. It's uncanny, is it not? I'm a father. I never quite mastered the differences in cries. And so I would do something. I had to pick one of the kids up, and Marilyn would come along and say, "Oh no, this is what she needs." And she was invariably right. Nursing mothers just know what it is that children want. And when nursing mothers get it right, when mothers know what their children want and they provide that for them, there is a kind of joy and delight that perhaps those of us who have never been mothers don't really understand. Look at their faces and you will understand it. And Paul says, I know what you wanted, and I gave it to you, and that was what made me happy. Think about that. I knew what you wanted. You needed the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I shared that with you. The way I shared that with you helps you to understand how I knew it was important, because I delighted to do so. When you bring the gospel, both to those outside the church, or when you bring the gospel to those inside the church, that balm, that encouragement that we need, make sure that your delight is in the sharing of that gospel with those who need that gospel. That's what Paul sets before us. But Paul says that about the gospel almost, yes, almost incidentally, because what he really wants us to see here is the manner in which he shared with them the gospel. And he tells us that we delighted to share the gospel with you, not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So our very souls he shared with them. That's what the Apostle Paul says here. And perhaps no other part of the mother model is more apparent in the life of the Apostle Paul than the way in which he shared the gospel with people, the way in which he shared himself with people. And I think we have to get a hold of that somehow. And we need to cultivate the attitude that characterizes good mothers. It's almost the case, it seems to me, that good mothers not only allow children to impose on them, they almost invite that. Mother is here. Come to mommy when you have a need. And mothers do that. And the Apostle Paul says, that's the way in which we shared our lives with you. We don't withhold from them. Seems to me the Apostle Paul is not only telling us about his time, not only telling us about his energy, and not only telling us about his expertise, not only telling us about his amazing brilliance. He says there was more. I shared the very center of what I am, my very soul, with you. You know about me. And you do know about the Apostle, don't you? You know the Apostle Paul who struggled with sin with the intensity that you understand. You know the Apostle Paul who had these visions and wonderful ideas about the nature of God, that while he is talking to you about something that God does, he just soars off into the heavens telling you about the wonder of God. Doxology comes out of the midst of the expression of theological terminology. Because to those he wrote, he shared himself. He shared himself with them. I think about the way in which Paul did that in Thessalonica. Think about the way in which he did it in Philippi. Think about the way in which he did it with many of the other churches. Just think about how that characterized him. And Paul says to the Thessalonians, not only did this characterize me, but I'm telling you about this not out of braggadocio. I want to elicit that kind of behavior, that kind of feeling, that kind of commitment to relating to one another like I showed to you. Sharing yourselves. And that's tough for people in our society. That's hard. But the Apostle Paul says, just like a mother who weeps when her children weep, who rejoices when her children rejoice, Paul says, I gave you what you needed, the gospel, but in giving you the gospel, I gave you my full, complete self. And I call upon you, Paul says, to do likewise. Now, Paul also tells us that as a mother, he loved them. They were very dear to them. He tells them that. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share. Perhaps we could also see that he was affectionately desirous of them, is the way in which the New English Standard desires this. That the Apostle Paul had such an affection for them, and it was of a kind that he just longed, if you will, to be with them. And that's the reason that the Apostle Paul sends Timothy to them. We'll see this as we go along in this book, but you look at the first part of the third chapter. And the Apostle Paul says, I was so concerned about you. My affections for you were so overwhelming that while I was alone, and I did not like to be alone, I enjoyed the company of Timothy, but my affection for you, my desire for your good was so overwhelming that I said to Timothy, don't worry about me, you go off and see how they're doing. I can't sleep at night until I find out how things are going in Thessalonica. Paul tells them that he had that kind of affection, he had that kind of desire for them, that he loved his church. And in doing that, the Apostle Paul showed us the pattern that has to be a part of any kind of ministry. He shows us that pattern of loving the people of God, of being able to have this kind of deep affection for them. And when he does that, he shows us something about the character of our Savior. And we can't forget that. That the Savior does what he does for us, the scriptures tell us, because he loves us and gave himself up for us. And when the Apostle Paul shows that kind of love, he demonstrates something about the Savior. And loving the church is not always easy. I suspect that the church at Corinth was not the easiest church to love. I suspect that the church at Galatia was not always an easy church to love. I suspect that even a church like the church at Thessalonica was not always easy to love. But nonetheless, the Apostle Paul says, my affections were directed toward you, and you were what I really wanted. That's why I gave myself to you. Let's try to think about what it means to have that kind of affection, to desire to be with people and to love them and to share things with them. Now, for some of us, this is a lot easier than it is for others. Now, some of you are naturally gregarious, and you like to be with people. I struggle with this. I have an office without windows on the second floor, and I like it up there. And I have to wrestle with coming down from there. I have to struggle with this. I still remember dealing with a very helpful pastor, a fellow that I worked as assistant one time. And I was struggling in pastoral work. And I sat down with Cal and I started to talk to him. And he said, wait a minute, Al. Do you love them? And it was like he hit me on the head with a hammer. Because I was leading them. I was being their pastor. This older pastor, filled with wisdom, said, do you love them? And I could not say honestly, that, Cal, is what characterized my relationship with the people at Emmanuel Church. But the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica, I had that kind of love for you. I've seen people do this. I think of my mother's pastor. And my mom goes to visit my brother. My mother can't see. She comes back to home, and the very night she arrives, Robert calls her up and says, hi, Helen. Have a good trip. We missed you. I just wanted to make sure you got home safely. My mother calls me up and says, that is a loving pastor. And she's right. She is just dead right. That is a loving pastor. Now you have counselees, clients. They pay you money and they come and they tell you things. And you go to a conference in Colorado. And while you are there, you see the beauty of the mountains and you remember this client of yours with tears in the midst of all the pain that he feels, says, that was some of the happiest times of my life when my dad and I climbed up those mountains. And you walk over to the stall at the airport and you buy a postcard with the picture of the mountains and you say, hi, I'm here. I remembered how important these things were with you. And you sign your name and put it in the mail. That's what the Apostle Paul was thinking about. Those kinds of things. As he called upon the church to have that kind of love, that kind of desire. Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, church picnics and fellowship dinners. are not times when you put on your professional appearance and you go around and you smile at everybody and you shake hands. And if you have to do that, you say, God, forgive me for not loving the people of God and wanting to give myself to them and to be with them and to encourage them in their walk in the Christian life. That's what the Apostle Paul means when he had this kind of love and desire for them. Now, some of you are probably sitting there and saying, you've been in that second floor office too long without windows. This is hard. This is overwhelming. This is beyond what I think I can really do. And to a certain extent, that's probably right. That's a good thought to have. But you have to remember what it was that drove the Apostle Paul. And it has to drive us. That as soon as you think about these things, and you think about them, and sometimes they fill you with terror, as they do me, I need to think about something else. I need to reflect on something else. I need to reflect on my God. I need to understand the character of my God. And I have to understand the character of the gospel that was brought to me, the gospel that I embraced. Because the reason why I heard the good news, the reason why the news was good, it was because it was a message that told me there's a God in heaven who loves your filthy, sin-corrupted soul. And he loves you with such an intensity that he has determined in eternity past to send that which was most precious to him, his son, the son of his love. He sent the son. And the son came. The holy, righteous son of the living God came upon this earth and he gave himself up for me. He died a despicable death. He underwent the alienation from his father for my sins because of what he loved me. Better than any mother ever could. And he sent me, and he sends you out into his church. And he says, as you relate to the people in that church, relate to them with the gentleness of a mother, with the sharing commitment to give of yourselves. Love them because Jesus loved you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you tell us clearly and forthrightly who you are. That you are God and you are love. And we pray, O Lord God in heaven, that we will be moved both in our behavior and the deepest affections of our heart to love you back and to love the people of your kingdom, of your family, to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray, O Lord God in heaven, that we will deal with them gently and that we will freely give ourselves to them, and we will be glad that we can be with them. Grant us this mercy so that we can know something more of what you have done for us, O great triune God. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let's stand and sing hymn number 598, Guide Me, Thou, O Thou Great Jehovah.